สี่ที่เราOne Paul instructing the community said, all of you people are gobblers of bread. If you go on traveling around this way, where will you have today?Do you know that there are no teachers of Chan in all of China? At that time, a monk came forward and said, then what about those in various places who order followers and lead communities? One poor said,I don't say that there is no Chan, it's just that there are no teachers. From Paul instructing the community that all of you people are gobblers of bread. So if you go on traveling around this way, where will you have today?Do you know that there are no teachers of Chan in all of China? At that time, a monk came forward and said, then what about those in various places who order followers and lead communities? One poor said, I don't say that there is no Chan, it's just that there are no teachers.Huang Po is one of the famous Zen teacher belonging to Lindai line. It is said Huang Po was 7 feet tall.And also on his forehead, there was a lump like a round pearl that's around here, because when you bow Buddha, usually, one of the famous Zen teachers named Kichizawa in Japan, he had also a kind of lump of, on his forehead, because when he bowed to Buddha, he strike the forehead to the floor, okay, 3 times.So very naturally here is just in front of you, your forehead becomes very hard. For instance, if you practice karate, you know, see around here becomes very rough and hard. Do you understand it? So same applies to the front pose, forehead. Every time he bows to Buddha,He hit the forehead to the floor, you know, very naturally. And also it means he constantly bowed to the Buddha very often, every day. So, anyway, and also it is said his eyes were very sharp and...just like tiger's eyes, you know, even the duck, you know, he could see the, what you think he said. So if he glares at you, you cannot move an inch, just like a frog and a snake, you know, like a snake glare at the clear that the frog will come move. And also she was very high, 7 feet tall. And his face was not the usual handsome boy, you know, very rough face, sort of a potato skin, potato face. According to common sense, it was really ugly. but it's not usual ugliness. Still very grateful is that potato face, is a potato look, so still grateful and nice, but according to common sense, it's really ugly. And let's imagine such a person just in front of you and the talk and glare at you very clearly. In Japan also, the Sakyoshi is practiced under the guidance of famous Zen master Oka Sotan. He said to us, his phrase was that just like tile of the tile used for the roof, in Japan, particularly in the top of the the roof and the bus side of the roof, there is a special tile designing the face of the devil. Like this, you know, to say it means to keep away from devil, from anyway, protect the house. You know, that's when the top of the roof, there is a special tile on the bus side. Designing the curve of the devil face. And then Sakyoshi says, Oka Roshi was just like a tile of designing devil face, devil look. And one day he said, a monk asked, monk visited his room and asking a very important question. So he knocked the door. He still, whoever they come, he always sits in the desk and studying, reading the scriptures. His voice was very deep and vast, very strong. And he said, yes, come in. Then he come in and Okaroshi said, what is that? What do you want? So, monk, after 3 bows, and he said, I have a problem. So he said, what's the problem? The monk said, I have a problem of life and death. And then immediately, he stopped the reading and glared at him, who's the problem of life and death? The monk said, that's my problem of life and death. Your problem of life and death is not much important. Because life and death is it's not real life and death, because if you say my problem is all that life and death is limited by your understanding, by your standpoint, that's why you cannot see the total portrait of the problem of life and death. Actually, if you have your own problem, anyway, you have to be free from. Anyway, let go of your problem and then see that problem of life and death, but it's very difficult to do that, because if you are right in the midst of a life problem, difficulties, it's very difficult to switch your mind. Even psychologically, you can't switch. Much less You can't do anything, you know, free. You're always right in the middle. You're always stuck in the midst of a difficulty. So that's why it is very difficult, particularly when you are young. Very difficult. That's why we need a guidance, you know, just like your problem. Your problem is not important. It's immediately, if a teacher says, so you've got a big shock, you know, because you are basically, you brought up in most important the problem you think, but for him, it's not important, you know, so you are disappointed. Sort of for fighting with a tofu, you know. Nothing. So Sakyoshi also laughed at after talking about this story, you know. So one poor also very ugly face and very tall and very strong, severe and strict practice, but free. His life was very free. So this case, one poor one day instructing community said, all of you people are gobblers of bread. If you go on traveling around this way, where will you have today? Gobblers of bread. And in Han Dynasty, it was really popular for the then teacher to criticize and using the very rough words. But that criticism is not destroying the individual personality, but in the bottom of the then teacher's criticism, there was obvious compassion, the trying to help improve developing individual life. So this is one of the typical Zen teachers, rough criticism, governors of grades, according to my term. We are just like a doggy bag. You understand? We are doggy bag. Even though you say I have a very important problem of life and death, you are only doggy bag carrying my problem of life and death. That is only left over. Then you always carrying back to your home and share to somebody that I have something. Would you help me, please? And then you share the leftovers, and the dog is happy so much. And the dog sometimes gives sympathy to you and talking about the, but still it is a leftover. Whatever you do, we are really doggy bag. It's very true. And we are really proud of ourselves, sharing the leftover. Carrying the bag from the other vision conscious level, okay? And then we carry back many things and they share it. And then people appreciate you and you're very proud of you and of yourself because you did something good. But strictly speaking, it is still totally bad. So, Zen Master's comment, he says, drawing water. Here it's limited by the size of the ball because drawing water is scooping water. Water is coming up constantly from the ground. This is your capability. This is your Buddha nature, original nature. Coming up constantly. If you anyway practice, you can really realize the great capability you have never seen before. But so far, according to IQ, according to the grade of the school, people evaluate you, your capability, but that isn't that. Still, that your capability, original nature of the capability, is really just like a water, see? Spring water coming up constantly. It's really true. It's really true. That's why Dogen then says doesn't practice open not only to the wise people, everybody, complete beyond good or bad, right or wrong. And but he immediately, one poor instructing the community, said, only he said this vastness of the vast amount of spring water coming from the ground is something explainable. That time it is already limited. That is what is called leftover. Then the leftover is okay, but the trouble is we put it in a doggy bag and carry it always. And also more problem is shared. Okay? Leftover and more problem is if you share and people will feel good and we proud of ourselves. But this is just a real part of the good. But that's why Ingo says drawing water is limited by the size of the bowl scoop, spoon. If you draw the water with a spoon, water is limited already. This is your knowledge, you believe. You go to school and study and get the grade and then says, or this is my knowledge. But it is, that knowledge is already you have drawn with the spoon. See? It's not real knowledge, real capability. Real capability is completely endless. He swallows all in one gulp. Anyway, no patch or mark in the world can leap clear. Anyway, he swallows all in one gulp. If he said something, even though he scooped the water and with a certain spoons, and that means the water is limited, but that limitation of the truth, it has also the power. So just like you stand up in front of a snake, a big snake, you become a frog. Snake is just a form of a snake, one of the animals, one of the beings. But if you are exactly stuck here, you can move an inch. So, if he said something in the world, even though he doesn't say, just to stand up in front of you, or he does something, always there is a big powerful spirit there. So, swallowing one cup, every one cup, wherever you are completely swallowed by this kind of teaching. For instance, Yokoi Roshi, when he came into my room, immediately I felt my room was so small, because I felt he was big, occupying the whole room, my room, so I felt no space for me to live. It's completely beyond human speculation, anyway. Immediately I felt it. That's why I felt always so, I was always afraid that my life was reducing and disappearing slowly. Because he's getting command and already there's no space for me to live. According to the Buddha Shakyamuni, maybe Buddha Shakyamuni was always written in histories how gentle, kind, compassionate he was. Just like an elephant, right? Rusty, wild elephant stopped in front of the Shakyamuni Buddha and then kneeled down and play with Buddha Shakyamuni. In the history, in stories, city people were very afraid because wild elephants in the city. But Buddha was not afraid. So story of the history of it explains how gentle, how kind, how compassionate Shakyamuni was. Okay, all of you people are governor of drugs. If you go on traveling along this way, and comment says he has said it. Anyway, he starts to talk. But he said something, it is. And you will wear out your strong sandals. Why, even though you, one process, you know, don't take a troubles without, in that way, as the governor of the bread, if you always keep and drag the leftovers and carrying them in the doggy bag. And, no matter how long you take a travel to see the dentist, it doesn't make sense actually. But even though you said so, we have already the last sandals. Straw sandal, which worn out, you know what? Anyway, many monks, many priests took a trouble to see the teacher take it. And where will you have today? where will you have today if you travel as the governor of the dregs? Where have you? Will you have today? Anyway, if you attend the session, you said to yourself, this session very important for me because I want to attain enlightenment. So you always emphasize, I this fishing, I want to keep this fishing in a better way, it says. But that is not today. That is only today, drawn by water with your scoop, with your spoon only. That is a today or yesterday or tomorrow. So always we say that those things that we are all immediately taken in by the term that the yet the time expressed by the word so-called yesterday is already repulsed because it is something of complicated in consciousness. It is already something reflected in the middle of the consciousness. I told you before, the outline is always sense organs and objects and the consciousness. Consciousness cannot see directly as it is because sense organs and objects face each other. The immediate object is assimilated with sense organs. It means that the object is something reflected in the middle of the sense organs. And then simultaneously, consciousness participates in the function of the sense organs and the object, and then judge it, understand it, or oh, this is something. But what does consciousness understand? Consciousness understands image of the object reflected in the middle of sense organs. So that's why that is a level. That's why this is nothing but the level. So, today and tomorrow and yesterday, whatever you say, this is not real yesterday, real today. Well, we are anyway right in the midst of time beyond past, present, future. You have thought. This is our nature. Do you know that there are no teachers of Qin in all of the China? If you try to see the good teacher in the China and at that time you have never had a chance to see the good teacher. If you try to see the better place to practice, you cannot feel the satisfactory from the place or teacher. Because teacher, you think a place, you think already complicated. So in the place you have chosen has lots of beings, good, bad, right, wrong, complication, contradictory situation of human existence. So even though you make a choice of better place is not always better place. Sooner or later it is not better place. Always better, not better. Good, worse, always. It means that it really depends on you how to use the praise and the teaching. Then next, that time a monk came forward and said, then what about those in various places where water follows and leads the communities? But how about the many places where teacher teaches the Buddhism and developing pretty much, still you think that there is no teacher? So Baku Wampo said, I don't say that there is no Chan, no Zen. It's just that there are no teachers. So this is the most important point in this case. Okay. He doesn't say there is no Zen, okay? But he says no teacher. So Zen is always exist. But what is a Zen? Zen is in the book. Zen is in the scripture. Zen is always a koan in the koan. Well, Zen is always a lecture. Zen is always a chosaku. Zen is always in the screen. Car. No way. I don't think so. I don't think Zen is such a thing. Zen is really, well, Zen is that which really pointing out a likeness of life itself. Okay? I told you before, in the Monday, last Monday, I told people. Our life is just like a cat, the pebbles into the, not in the small, the your own world, so-called Kalagiri. Okay. But we always kept the pebbles to the universe. But we don't usually we don't realize it. But the first important point is getting up in the morning, wash your face, and walking or dozen, chanting, whatever it is, all form of human life is coming from anyway, activity, real activity, what you are testing the pebbles constantly. That is aliveness of life. Test. That means that get up, process, get up. If you test the pebble like this, and then you can see the form, so called watering, okay? Watering. But watering is already something special, so-called leftover, coming from the catching the pebble, okay? Coming from actual practice you do, okay? You plunge into. But this, without this watering, we cannot see whether I cast a pebble or not. We cannot see the human life according to the causation, cause and effect. So very naturally, after testing pebbles, the immediate result is the watering. This is also important. That is, watering is exactly form of life. It's getting up in the morning. That's why you say, getting up in the morning, washing the face, breakfast, this is a form, watering. But it's nothing but the watering, so-called, dress. Okay. But without this dress, the watering, we cannot exist. That's why this is important. And why? Because this watering is extending where? In the ocean, and finally, watering disappears. Where? In this? Nothing. So you cannot hold on or left over, the so-called thread, watering. So constantly all you have to do is you must anyway test getting up in the morning, have a breakfast, walk, you constantly see your pebbles. You test the pebbles. And then you can see the form immediately, simultaneously. But we always attach to the form instead of forgetting the casting the pebbles into. This actual process is very important for us. Without this, we cannot see any form, because casting actual process is exactly quality of the form, formality of your life. Getting up in the morning, in the shows, anyway, this is a quality. This is a quality. So, it really depends on you whether you can kill form of your life, formality of your life, daily routine, form of your daily routine, or bring life to it. It really depends on you. If you always hang on to the form of life, so-called waterling, nothing but breath, it's very difficult to live in that way. So, currently, we can't ignore the formality in human life. Whatever you say, religious ritual, or religious form, or daily routine, form of daily routine, whatever it is, form is very important, because it comes from, anyway, actual process of course, casting the pebbles. That is nothing but the total portrait of your life, which is fully alive. Where? In the universe. In the universe. So your form, so-called kargi, or wherever you are, anyway, you can see your own individual form. That form is what I mean. Because you have been alive. That's why, anyway, that is always there. But what is the sin? Sin is not in the book. Sin is not in the Buddhist scriptures. Well, you can say something of course, sin is book record, but it is nothing but the leftover. But without leftover, we can't see real Zen. That's why we try to respect rest over, which is the bread, the form, watering, whatever you say. We respect, because it is nothing but the result from your actual process of casting the pebbles into ocean. That's why this is a watering. This is your life, you can see. But we always try to come back to the mainstream of life and death, so-called aliveness, okay? Process of aliveness. The aliveness of the actual process. You must be constantly in the mainstream. Mainstream means the constantly active process of attracting the pebbles into oceans. Constantly. This is a practice, whatever you do. As a pianist, as a doctor, medical doctor, whatever it is, constantly we should do this. And then your life, your capability really developing. Okay? That is one poll that must really want to tell to this community. That's why he said, I don't say that there is no Zen, it's just that there are no teachers. The pointer, the great capability, the great capacity of Buddha and patriarchs is completely within his control. The lifeline of humans and gods is entirely subject to his direction. The great capacity of Buddhas and patriarchs means the original nature of your life, that is constantly water, the spring water, which is boundless, which is immense, is completely within his control, but it's already with you. It's not something mysterious. It's not something you can get after the practice of the walking on the surface of a lake or ocean. It's not the great capability of the Buddhas and the patriarchs. So, I told you before in the comments that also it says the conversation between monks and the Wampo. Let me read here. Very simple, interesting stories here. Once when the master was traveling to Mount Tietai, he met the monk on the way. They talked and laughed together like old acquaintances. Wampo's really get something from the travelers simultaneously, just like old acquaintances. Wampo looked him over carefully. The light in his eyes pierced the people. It's very sharp. That's why he liked very much. He was very attractive. He was caught. He was captured by his very sharp, pierced light of his eyes. And his acquaintance, the acquaintance was extremely unusual, very unusual person. Okay? As they thus traveled among together, when they came to a swollen valley stream, Wampo planted his staff in the ground, took off his hat and stopped there, because the river was already flooded, lots of water. So he sat down there, took off his hat and sat down there. And the other monk tried to take the master across with him, but the master said, "Please cross over yourself." So he said, "Please go ahead." So the other one then gathered up his logs and walked upon the waves as though treading on level ground. He looked back and said, anyway, he walked on the surface of water. So he looked around and he looked back and said, come across, hey Wampo, come on. So master really upbraided him, saying, "You self-perfected fellow, if I had known you would concoct wonders, I would have broken your leg." The other monk sighed in admiration have brought the admiration and said, you are true vessel of the teaching of the great vehicle, as his words ended. When your eyes is working alive, okay, what do you mean? How do you prove your eyes is alive? Okay, it's very simple. See something is not concept, not something, not matter of discussion. See is anyway. See is a verb, actual process. If you see, how can you prove? How can you grasp? Actual process of seeing continuously. You cannot do it. So very naturally, I can see eyes. So all I have to do is to continue to see that great proof. So, when you do gassho, actual process of doing gassho is completely beyond your concept. You always understand the yoga show because that is a left order, just left. You often see from your conscious level. Okay? But the actual process of doing gassho is completely beyond. But it's with you constantly. That is enlightenment. Okay? That is temporary Zen. Because Zen is tranquil, because it is quiet. It is nothing pinned down. Inward, nothing pinned down. But it's there. It's really there, and it's really developed, helping your life. That's why it's called Zen, tranquility, serenity. Or not, how could we call emptiness? So, the great capacity of Buddhas and Patriarch is completely within his control. It really depends on you. The lifeline of humans and gods is entirely subject to his direction. It's really to you. It's open to you. It's open to you. Lifeline of humans and gods means life itself. Stream of life and death. Anyway, open to trees, birds, pebbles, human beings, universal life. That is lifeline of humans and gods. You can see many things, but there are many things you cannot see, you cannot hear. But there are lots of beings there, where in vastness of lifeline. In vastness of life. So, with the code word or phrase, he accounts the crowd and stirs the masses. With a code word and phrase, if he uses words and phrases, his words and phrases come from his life. That's why the word is like his simple, even a simple word is very effective, very sharp, very strong, very powerful. But usually we don't use a word like this. Word is word. Then through the word, we try to understand life, but it's opposite. How can you understand the life? Okay. Through the word, you can't do that. You can get a certain hint. Of course you can get the hint, but it's not life itself. So words must be coming from the life itself. That is very true. So, if you did that by with the causal word and phrase, he calms the crowd and stirs muscles. Anyway, Bodhidharma says, vastness and nothing holy. This is a simple answer. But still, it is the word, the phrase, which has been interested. You know, generation after generation has been interested in, even though we don't understand. Vastness, nothing holy. Very simple word, phrase. But it is too big corn for us. Even though you don't understand, still it captures us. What do you mean? So, with one device, one object, he smashes the chains and knocks off fetters. With one device, one object, he smashes chains and knocks off fetters. Well, if Emperor Wu understood the vastness and the nothing only, immediately he can smash his chains and knocks off fetters. But he was not ready to accept this. That's why he didn't understand the Bodhidharma's feeling of mind. But Bodhidharma's word and phrase he used is really great. Meeting transcendental potential, he brings up transcendental models. But tell me, who has ever come on like this? Are there any fool know where he is at to taste, to test his sight, his look? He's called severe. Solitary mean doesn't take pride in itself. Solitary mean means his attitude, his behavior, his look is really prominent, and imposing. No one can interrupt under whatever he may be. That's why it's solitary me. M-I-E-N, solitary mean. That is religious security there. And also this is not the social lifestyle, okay? It's really severe, okay? Because no one can touch. But it's really there, and that is really powerful, which is enough to help for such beings. So, Techo, anyway, comment to the total portrait of the one poor Zen master, who he was. So that is his cold, severe cold means no one can touch. very severe, and also solitary, very solitary in mountain touch. But it's very warm, helping people, communicating. It doesn't take pride in itself, because it is very calm, very tranquil. Just like a white crane stands up in the snow, just to stand up in the snow. White crane, exactly the same color. So you cannot distinguish between, and you cannot see where the white crane is, because all over there is completely covered with the snow. How can you know? But it doesn't mean no presence of the crane exists. But that presence of the crane is very quiet because becoming one with the snow, the horror. That is religious security. It's really religious security. So-called faith is there. So faith, that is very calm and very tranquil, but it's work. It's very work. So it doesn't show up. It doesn't show off. It's very quiet. That's why in Prajna Paramita, the Buddha doesn't appear on the surface of the sutras, but Bodhisattva appears, Avalokiteshvara appears, and teaches the Shariputra about on the subject of the emptiness in the Mahaprajna Paramita. The Buddha is always very security, very experienced speaking. And solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, he distinguishes dragons and snakes, and solemnly dwelling in the sea of the world, that is so-called the vastness of existence. You really be there. And then at that time you can see what is a dragon, what is a snake. In other words, you have to constantly test the pebbles, not to the small, individual, egoistic territories. Anyway, we should let go of ourselves and test the pebbles in the oceans, in the universe. This is the most important. Most important. If you do that, then anyway, cast your pebble, so-called zazen, into, not you, into the universe, means whatever you say. Purpose of zazen is such and such, forget it. Okay? Concentration is such and such, you can say so, forget it. Okay? Enlightenment is coming from the practice, such and such, of course, but forget it. Emptiness is the nature of the human being, of course it is, forget it. And life is not the end of the life. Life is going on and on, yes it is, reincarnation there, forget it. You should, our mind must be clear, but forget it. When you have to do that thing, anyway, that thing must be alive. That's a very simple practice for us. So, at that time, anyway, if you really cast the pebbles into the universe, means let go of yourself and you do. Without molding yourself into a certain frame, anyway, let go of yourself into the ocean. At that time, and then you can see what is a dragon, what is a snake. So-called, aha, this is my zazen. This is my concentration. Oh, my concentration is very awful today. Poor Karagi. you can see. Next moment, anyway, tap the pebbles, dulled understanding into my conscious levels. Anyway, in the ocean, let go of them anyway. And then, completely, you try to do the thing. So that is the firmly dwelling in the sea of the world, that is the practice of the ocean. He distinguishes dragons and snakes. This is the very one pose they must. To Chang, the son of heaven, has been lightly handled. Son of heaven means one of the Chinese emperor who became a monk, giving up a position of emperor. He became a monk. And he practiced under the monastery at that time. The Wangpo Zenmas was head monk in the same temple where emperor was. At that time, Wangpo Zenmas anyway bowed to the Buddha, chanting the triple trigger, I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, I take refuge in the Sangha. And then each time he bowed. And then this emperor, anyway, by chance, passed by this Buddha hall. And then he asked someone poor, Buddhism, Buddha says you shouldn't expect anything at all. But what do you expect? By bowing to the Buddha, chanting the triple prayer, Buddha Dhamma Sangha. He said, nothing to expect. I don't expect, I have never expected anything from Bao. But he didn't understand. So, but you bow to the Buddha. If you bow to the Buddha, it means you expect something from the Buddha. That's why you bow. But he said, no, no. I just bow like this. Still, he doesn't understand. Finally, he stopped his face. That is the story. Three times he slapped his face. Just like this. Bow is just a bow. Purpose of bow is what? Well, to bow to the Buddha. What is the Buddha? Buddha is the object of worship in front of you. Of course, forget. When you have to bow, bow must be alive. Your consciousness knows pretty well. Your task is psychological, you draw it. But whatever you see, all of that over. The real thing is bow itself, that's the process of bowing itself. So you have to bow when you have to bow. So that is to Chang, the son of heaven, has been likely handled. And then three times he personally felt those claws and fangs and work. Always there is some claws. And fan means I want. So claw for catch. Always claw, grasp, whatever you do. Not materialistic, not about fame, not on the wall, whatever it is. Anyway, even spiritual matter. Immediately, cloth raises, grows, and fangs, anyway, grows. This is human desire, very greediness. That's why three times one poor slapped his face, just bowed like this, without expecting anything. but something you can, it's something you can expect. The expectation you can see is, anyway, something coming from your conscious level. But you can hold on. Of course, you can put it into the doggy bag and carry it and share it. That is a philosophy, psychology, and methodology of Buddhism and Zen Buddhism, lots of things. But it's still left over. But left over is important for us because it helps us so much. It's not necessary to throw away. Well, left over is not a good term. Maybe watering will be more poetical. Watering is better. But watering is watering, nothing but the watering. Where it is going, forehead, heading for. Where is it heading for? It stays? No way. Going away. Where? To where? Immensely. Complete oneness. That is the original nature of what I mean.
Yeah.